This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:35 a.m. now on this Friday, December 28th. We are just about to enter the final weekend of 2018. Thanks for sticking with us here on The Morning Run. I'm Tan Chung Han. With me, Julian Ng. Time now to look at global markets. Now, it's been a rocky December for equity markets, to say the least. Overnight, you had the Dow Jones swinging by some 850 points before closing up 1.14%. Question is, what's going to weigh on investors' minds going into the new year? On the line now, we have Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist of COFAS in Hong Kong. Good morning, Carlos. So, looking ahead to 2019, Carlos, what do you think will be the major risks or themes that could risk the global economic growth trajectory?
Morning. So going into 2019, we actually see a global deceleration in growth as being one of the main themes that will be in the investors' minds. And there are a few factors driving this slowdown. First of all, there's the fact that global demand will begin to decline a little bit, in particular in big markets such as China and the European Union. Although we also see the U.S. sort of coming off of a boil, in a sense, that because they've had a very good year this year. And more importantly, we do see a return of political risk. However, this time, political risk is not so much associated with fringe markets or emerging markets, but we see political risk in places such as Europe, where we have an Italian debt crisis that will be harder to resolve. And we also see Brexit and trade negotiations between China and the U.S. weighing heavily on the outlook in 2019.
And Carlos, we also see news of U.S. and China coming to the table to talk about trade, perhaps as early as January the 7th. How probable do you think is a near-term solution to this trade war that we've been seeing? And is this going to be a protracted affair in the two world's largest economies?
That's a good question. So my short answer is that this will be a protracted affair. So it is something that will be ongoing. However, we might see some concessions take place before that bilateral trade negotiation starts on January 7th. And the Chinese authorities have sort of come up with a few measures since both leaders met in Argentina this month that include importing more agro products from the U.S., but also removing tariffs on some auto imports as a concession, and also trying to import more products such as aerospace technology, et cetera, and removing forced technology transfers. That's something that will also be put on the table on January 7th. Now, this will help in the short term, but remember that this trade war is not so much about the trade deficit, but it's about contagion of Chinese companies in certain areas, including high tech, because of U.S. concerns that government subsidies will remain. Now, this is not something that China will willingly give up, and it's not something that China can do very much about in the 90-day period that they've been given to change their entire industrial structure. So judging by those two factors, I expect that tensions will perhaps lower slightly as China offers some concessions, but these won't be enough to completely appease the United States, especially given the very strategic nature of the concerns.
But Carlos, I think the question here is whether or not China can continue this stance. Now, while you say that tensions will lower slightly, but this could be of a protracted nature, right? Because looking at some data out of China, it shows that the Chinese economy has slowed for a seventh straight month. Now, meanwhile, you contrast that with what's coming out of the U.S. Just overnight, we saw the latest print on U.S. jobless claims, and it shows a still robust labor market. So, question here is, do you think we are already seeing a winner starting to emerge in this U.S.-China trade war?
I do feel that the U.S. has a lot more room to continue to hike tariffs than China. China, however, it's slowing down due to a combination of domestic and external factors. So far, the impact of the trade war has been rather muted and has only been felt through the investment channel, so through lower investor sentiment leading to lower investment. Going into 2019, this impact will be more real because the exports will start to slow down as those tariffs come into place, and that front-loading of exports that we saw in 2018 fades out. So that will exert some pressure on the Chinese front to try to make more concessions. But they can and they do have enough policy space to implement monetary and fiscal policy easing to try to offset some of that pressure, which could, of course, buy them more bargaining time. I think that the impact on growth can be offset through a policy response without having to compromise entirely on its industrial policy. Does that make China a winner? Absolutely not. And a lot of these, remember, a lot of the supply chains that are moving out of China into Southeast Asia were moving already as a result of higher labor costs. So we do think that China will have to consider like its long-term industrial policies, but it's unlikely that this can be done in a short period of time or in response to pressures from the U.S.
Carlos, are there any other risks that investors should be aware of? And in particular, how do you think such risks will affect the economic growth of Asia going into 2019?
The other risk that we're looking at, and of course this affects different Asian countries in different ways, is oil price volatility. We are factoring in a slightly lower oil price for 2019, and this is good for countries that are net oil importers. So we do see some of that pressure coming off India, which is one of the larger net oil importers, as well as Indonesia. But on the other hand, you have countries such as Malaysia that are quite dependent on oil revenues, and where there's been a significant increase in fiscal spending or the decline in fiscal revenues as a result of that subsidy on energy prices. So they will have to consider their strategies in 2019 if there is a significant downside correction to that oil price scenario. And of course, a slower China, which is the biggest consumer of oil, is going to exert downside pressure on oil prices going forward.
Well, speaking about oil here, Carlos, let's dive into that for a bit, because we saw that 9% gain in Brent futures just a couple of days ago, but right now it's down 2.9%, down to $52.16 per barrel. So when you say you project a slightly lower oil price for next year, what's the range we're talking about here?
We project a slightly lower oil price, and that is due entirely to there being an excess supply in the market. And that is, of course, a combination of supply-side factors and demand-side factors. Demand-side factors being quite important because it is just going to be much lower than it was last year. Currently, our assessment is for oil prices to converge to around $70 per barrel throughout 2019. But we will see a lot of volatility before that happens. And, of course, this can impact certain markets and certain investors as well.
And going back to the emerging markets, of course, this year has been extremely painful for the emerging markets. But Vietnam, which is not necessarily in the EM, but rather in the frontier markets, was a fantastic outperformer this year. GDP growing at 7% or above. Is this a market or economy that perks your interest?
So we do see Vietnam as being one of the economies that could potentially benefit from this shift in supply chains out of China. Other economies that are benefiting already from this shift include Thailand and Malaysia, for example. So in a sense, the export side of the equation will not be such a problem for countries such as Vietnam, given that they have a lot of free trade agreements with the US and other countries in Asia. And that will continue to support growth, which remains amongst the highest in the region. Of course, Philippines is also growing very quickly due to predominantly less sustainable factors, so a lot of fiscal spending, but it's something that we don't see extinguishing into 2019. So the market will continue to grow at around 6.5%, which is fairly high as well. Mm-hmm. And then we have India that sort of had some issues following from a series of policies, including demonetization, that led to just a tighter liquidity situation, but that will nonetheless continue to grow at very, very high rates of about 7.5% in 2019. So we do see some economies picking up some growth in Asia, and we will see some economies slowing down, led by China and economies that are exposed to China through the demand front.
Carlos, with the little time that we have left and before we let you go from the final call that we're having with you for 2018. So given your projections for oil prices, given your projections for Vietnam, 6.5%, India, 7.5%, oil to converge at $70 per barrel. And of course, we started off this call with your outlook on China, the US, and of course, all the other major risks you mentioned, geopolitical risk out of Europe, etc. So having said all of that, give us your projection for the global economic growth for 2019.
So we don't see growth falling off a cliff, but we do resonate some of the opinions of the other institutions, the IMF and the World Bank, that global growth will slow slightly into 2019. So the message that we are conveying to our clients as well is that brace for a slightly tougher 2019. It won't fall off a cliff, and there's still pockets of growth and opportunity, but you have to look harder for those.
Great stuff. Thank you, as always, for your time and your insights, and we certainly wish you a very happy new year. That was Carlos Casanova, Chief Asia Economist of COFAS in Hong Kong. Stay tuned. We'll take a look at some of the top local stories right here on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.